Quest for Truth, Episode 252.
Quest for Truth, presented by Protectors of the Book and HPN. Now located at life-truth.com, here are your podcast host deputies, Keith Heltzley and Nathan Caldwell.
Welcome, everyone. This is your host, Keith, and it is time once again for Quest for Truth. And I am joined live today in Church House Studios. I hope this sets a tone for our year. We can record live together. And here he is, the one and only from your mini card and letter. Back by popular demand is... You can say your name if you want.
Oh, Nathan Caldwell!
All right, yay, we are back. You know, last year we set a tone where we did a lot of pre-recorded collaboration stuff, and the schedules were just so busy all year long. That was the tone of our podcast all last year. So hopefully here with the new year and everything, a fresh new start, we can get back in the studio off. I enjoy having a real live conversation than a pre-recorded sit behind a microphone.
Right. Yeah, I like it, but also like getting stuff done, and I'm having trouble, you know, contacting everybody and everything like that for the recordings. Now, in a couple weeks, we should have the parts for the next Gospel of Luke. So we may be having to do a substitution this week, maybe next week. But after that, because I told them I need it in the next couple weeks. So.
Right. And of course, for listeners, references to our audio drama, which normally would be scheduled for next week. But yeah, like you said, I haven't heard back about any parts.
Did you know that... We have, and we got, I mean, we're doing pretty good to get this guy. I'm excited. J.D. Sutter from Porchlight Family Media is playing Jesus for us in The Adventures of Luke. So, yeah, this is big for me.
Yeah, I didn't quite recognize the name, sort of, kind of. And so I went online and just did a search for Porchlight Productions. And yeah, he does a lot of audio work and stuff.
And they have a program that is like news from the Christian audio world. And Christian audio drama world. And I said, well, you know, you could always slip in that you're going to be playing a part in a new Christian audio, you know. He said, oh yeah, I think I can do that.
And being Jesus, of course, that will be a recurring role.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, the guy that's playing Satan, it's just a one-shot appearance, although there is a couple extra things we can maybe pop him in for in the next script or two, if he would want to do that. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to get them parts in and put this next episode together. It may be late, like you said. It depends on how we can get out there. But we always shoot for our audio drama on the third week. In the first week, we always shoot for having our truth exposed. Which last week, it was a little bit short. I have to apologize for my audio. So if you're a new-time listener and you've heard that and it sounds lousy, I sincerely apologize, but
I guess I'm easy to please because it sounded good to me. I apologize for not getting more in other than my little segment there. But
well, here's the meet the host part real quick.
Meet the hosts.
Right.
Is the reason why my audio level was not good. Is now the middle part, I always try to pre-record.
Right.
And the day I pre-recorded it, there were kids in the house playing video games, making noise, and so you have to kind of use really good mic technique and fight with the background sounds because they just don't understand. They got to be quiet. And whenever you go back through and you do your audio slicing and dicing and processing and try to get the levels to match everybody else's, the noise goes and it gets picked up too. And I had to do that, and it doesn't sound really good.
I tell you, we're still learning, people.
We're amateurs. We go low tech.
Oh, and we're on the cheap side of technology too. We try to get stuff that works well, but doesn't cost an arm and a leg because they take a really long time to grow back.
Free stuff, low cost stuff. That's how we roll. Neither one of us make a lot of money doing this stuff. We do it because we enjoy talking about the gospel.
And well, how much do we make doing this stuff? About $1 a month.
Yeah, so far. I don't know how that works because it's done through your Patreon page. By the way, patreon.com/theprotectorate. Go visit.
That's right. patreon.com/theprotectorate. Probably some other ways you can get there. But that's the big one. Talking about updates, I got a new book recently. It was Tactics, the 10th anniversary edition.
All right, yeah.
And so I'm struggling to catch up to where my class is so that I can give them the new material and not just the old stuff. Of course, right. The old stuff's in there, but he's added a bunch of stuff to it.
Yeah, he's expanded a lot of things, making some things instead of a segment being a full chapter, I've heard. And
so once I read it all, I may be like, hey, you want to come back? Because, you know, he was on the show.
Way back around episode 35 or 6.
Yeah, it was a few years ago.
It was during our first season. We weren't even on for a whole year.
It was our first season?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. It was like in August. It was like in August. We started in January about this time of the year. And in August, you're like, hey, do you think we can get Greg Kokel on the show? Like, who? Because I haven't really heard of him at that time.
Oh, wow.
And you got a hold of it. That time it was Melinda, the enforcer, and we got him on the show.
Hey, there's an update. Can I update that real quick?
Yeah.
She is doing a lot better.
Great.
Like, she's talking. And I mean, she still has some complications, but she's like talking and remembering things and everything.
And for listeners who don't follow Greg Kokel, Melinda, a couple of years ago, was either hanging up Christmas decorations or taking them down, and she fell off of a stepladder onto her head. And of course, it's been a serious, serious traumatic brain injury that she's slowly recovering from. So that's great.
So yeah, I love it. I love hearing that because I you want to get everybody back. Now, we don't want to lose Amy Hall.
Oh no!
But we want Melinda back.
She definitely is a dynamic presence on Greg's show, especially the STR Ask episodes.
Yes.
I do have something. I honestly thought it might be more of a thing, but you were almost going to be the new catchphrase on that story show.
I was really hoping that would catch on. But I thought
you were going to be the new Narthex person.
The pumpkins. Yeah, I may have to call back and kind of push that a little more. Just to not be forgotten, but
just
yeah.
Put your foot in the door. Hey, remember the pumpkins, man? Pumpkins.
I brought you a gift. The pumpkins.
No. Of course, if you don't know that story show, go look it up. It was an episode right around Halloween. I forget.
Yeah, exactly.
Just before or just after. But our wonderful co-host, Nathan Caldwell, did the intro, so you got to listen very much, get the first 30 seconds and you'll hear, you'll get the inside joke. Something else I happen to think about is What is the deal with Dr. White? Or can you talk about that?
Oh, I'll talk about that. The next episode, now this is Lord willing, the next episode of Dr. White is hopefully going to be a special one. I'm going to have Mark Kalita play, well, I can't exactly say who he's playing, because certain people wouldn't like if I mentioned who he was playing.
No, really?
Yeah, you know.
Hint, wink. I think I get that.
Yeah. Dr. Mott. But you're going to have Dr. What versus the man who is playing, being played by Mark Kalita. So very, 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 very excited. And it will also be the final appearance of CJ as Ray Stewart. So.
Now, I thought it was going to be the final appearance ever, because did you get a cease and desist order from?
No. Parody is a legally legally possible defense or something like that. It wasn't the parody I was told to stop. It was my fan productions. Remember, I did Doctor Who the Final Doctor.
Right.
But once they told me they didn't want me to do that anymore, I actually deleted all the episodes and everything. So I'm no longer in the Doctor
Who. Even that, I thought it was the whole Dr. White, everything you did.
No.
But even that, I mean, Dr. White's clearly a parody. But the other one, it's fan fiction. And I've heard other fan fictions out there of Dr.
Yep. But here's the difference. Most of the other fan fictions did not ask permission. I did. They said no.
Huh.
Yeah. Not fair, but life goes on. And to be honest, it's probably for the best, because now I can focus efforts, and I don't have much time for any efforts. So the little time I have, I can focus on Protectorate Productions and HPN, you know, that sort of thing. So okay. So it's a good thing that was cut out, really. Plus, not to mention, I need to focus on pastoring as well. That's a big one. That's kind of the most important. So,
what?
Yeah, I know. So, I'm telling you, the devil has ways of distracting us.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely been a lot of things happening with your hosts in our daily life and routines.
That being said, I have an unspoken prayer request. I just ask y'all to pray for me.
Yeah. We can make sure that as much as we can, make sure that we ask listeners to keep you in prayer. I mean, I'm sure it's for, you know, personal, family, and work type things.
Yeah. I just want to be closer to God. I just want to do the right thing, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And around here, we've still got kids, of course. Thankfully, they're back at school as of yesterday. I think was their first day.
That's right.
Back.
Same here.
So did you find your coat?
Oh, yeah.
Inside joke. Sometimes Nathan intends to send his wife a text, and he sends it to me instead.
Come think of it, I need to look in the work. I need to look at the work coat hangers before the end of the month, because they might get rid of my coat if I leave it up.
I'm just glad you didn't, you know, call me honey or dear or you love, you know, I love you or something.
Well, I do love you, brother, but I usually don't say it most of the time, except maybe at the end of one of these calls. But
I probably have some interesting things that kids have said and done over the past few weeks, but I don't have those notes handy. We've been kind of going a little bit long in our meeting the hosts segment here. One thing I will add is that we are now part of Christian Podcast Community, and you can find that at podcasts.strivingforeternity.org. There's a button there that says, I think, shows, and you can click on that and see all the shows that are currently part of that. It's been interesting. There's a new podcast they're going to be doing called Podcast Throwdown.
Yes, I hate missing that.
They do it once a month. They record for about 2 hours. So I don't know. They haven't hit the RSS feeds yet. It should be happening very soon, like in the next week or two.
So is the whole 2 hours going to post at once, or are they separating? I got your email. I just didn't look close enough.
Andrew Rappaport is hosting that, and I wouldn't put it past him to have a two-hour show. Because he has a couple he does that way.
Right.
I would think they're probably maybe edited it a little bit to tighten up. But it's all his game. I'm just glad to be a part of that.
And, absolutely.
Yeah, I try to keep you in the loop on that in case you don't get emails from him.
Well, I just hate that I have to work most Thursday nights. And it's like, I want to be part of it. I can't.
Yeah, there's been some interesting topics and discussions. And so if folks want to see this brand new podcast as it hits, and they're trying to do it before the G3 conference comes around, which is the third weekend this month, which is like the 16th to the 18th. It's like Thursday through Saturday or Friday through Friday. Yeah, Thursday through Saturday, whatever the 16th or 18th falls on.
He's actually going to be debuting the new CPC shows, and we are one of them, so it's kind of cool.
Here's a little scoop I found out at our recording session last night, is they have a banner, because they have a table set up at the convention, and they have the logos, all the artwork for the various CPC shows.
Oh, that's incredible.
And I can't recall who Andrew said he was talking to, somebody who's involved with the convention. And they were pointing out the artwork. Some of it looks really great. Some of it is, I guess, lesser great. And our artwork was one that he was more impressed with.
Who did that? Because I don't know that I've seen it until
we've recently. Actually been using that for the last year. But Apple Podcast hasn't updated it, and that's why you haven't seen it.
So who designed that?
Lance Phelps.
One of the fellow podcasters from the Christian Podcast Community Facebook group.
Well, that's great.
He does a podcast called Deep Dive, and I've been having trouble recalling his name.
Hello, didn't you hear me? I said his name is Lance Phelps.
It's on the tip of my tongue, but I just can't think of it.
It was done by Lance Phelps. Humans, why do I even bother trying to help?
Well, many thanks to him, because that looks amazing. It's really good. It's what it is. Well, if you guys don't, and here's the thing. Somebody might be like, I had to find you somewhere else, or I had to go to the website to find you, because your Apple thing isn't updating. Well, here's how you can get it to update. Because
in fact, our Apple page might be absent right now, even as we speak, because I have been working on trying to get that updated.
Right.
I've been having some trouble with getting their back end to accept our new location.
Right.
I don't know why.
So, but what you can do, and you told me about this, Keith, what you can do is you can go to the life-truth.com. Highly recommend that site, right?
Yeah.
Go to life-truth.com and
click on any of the shows. It doesn't matter which one, any of the shows, so that the whole page is now the show notes for whatever show.
Right.
Then you have, you know, the title, and then you have the show notes, and then below the show notes is the player. Just below the player is subscription links. And right now, the Apple one I've taken off until I can get it working. But if you click on RSS, what will happen is on iPhone, it will try to open it up in your built-in news app. So there's nothing you have to download. It's already built onto your phone.
Unless you've deleted it.
Well, it's part
I deleted it and had to re-download it to get this to work. So,
but the news app is built in, and so yeah, it'll just automatically open unless you specifically have taken it out.
Right, and then it will.
And then what the news app does is it says, "I can't get this to work right. How about if you open it up in Apple Podcasts?"
And it does. It does it for you.
Yeah, it just opens up Apple Podcasts. It has the right RSS feed listed. You just hit the subscribe or add or whatever the button says.
And it works amazingly. I never knew you could do that. That opens up a whole world of new possibilities for me. When somebody says, "Hey, I've got this podcast. It's such and such. Look me up on the website." And I'm like, "Yeah, but you're not an Apple. They don't have to be anymore." And I'm kind of liking that. I'm like, "Oh, I don't have to worry about that no more."
It's really convenient to have the Apple presence.
Yes.
But that's a workaround. Now, on your computer, if you have a laptop with iTunes or what they call it these days anymore, it's the same kind of a thing. You can just click on the RSS and
right.
open it up and subscribe for you.
Computer. Man.
I find that using the RSS is a lot more universal
than yep.
having a
yep.
specific Android or a specific Apple thing. But I am trying to get it working again.
So what is our main topic?
Well, the main topic, let's do this. Before we get there, let's listen to this other great podcast on the CPC, and we'll be right back.
The good news is Striving for Eternity would love to come to your church to spend 2 days with your folks teaching them biblical hermeneutics. That's right, the art and science of interpreting scripture. The bad news is somebody attending might be really upset to discover Jeremiah 29:11 should not be their life verse. To learn more, go to strivingforeternity.org to host a Bible interpretation made easy seminar in your area.
His rap, I want to tell you that there's a new one he did recently. It was about women's feminism.
Right.
And it was
social
really good.
Justice of feminism
it
stuff.
It was really good. He did a really good job on that one.
So, yeah, check him out as the other podcasts that are there. They're really great. And even if you don't subscribe, share. Hit the share button. And share it with people on your social media so it gets the word out.
And before we go to the main topic, there is one more thing we need to do. And that's tell everybody about the CPC contest.
Oh, yeah. The CPC contest. What that is, between now and February 29th, you can visit the website. I'll give you the short URL. It's bit.ly.com, bit.ly.com. /CPC contest. Once you're there, you'll need to sign in. You can either sign in with one click through, I think, Google or Facebook, or you can submit your name and email. You have to do that because that's how they contact you. If you don't do that, really, you can't participate.
Well, but you wouldn't win. Yeah,
you wouldn't want to win or participate. That's key. So once you get signed in, there's like 125 different things you can do to score points. You can sign up for the CPC newsletter. Every one of the podcasts has visit this page and subscribe to get some points. There's a button. You can get 5 points when you subscribe with Apple or subscribe with Google. You get 2 or 3 points, I think it is, for liking it on Twitter or sharing it on Facebook and things like that. And yep. the thing is, it's that classic old-timey Chicago corrupt politician, vote often. Come back every day, vote often.
You can share multiple things, and then the next day you can come back and share them again, or they may have something else that's there in their place and sharing it. So, I mean, it's great.
There's some things are one time. If you want to subscribe to a podcast, you like, well, it's a one time thing. Subscribe. But if you're going to share or like it on a social media, you can do that every 24 hours. If you visit the site 10 a.m. today, you can go back at 10 a.m. or later the next day. Every day you can get points by visiting the CPC page, just by visiting the page. So it's pretty exciting. And between now and February 29th, you can visit, rack up the points, try to get the highest score you can. At the top of the page, it'll tell you how many points you've earned. It'll tell you how many points other people have earned. Like, it's up to like 4,000 or 5,000 entries right now. And so if you've visited and returned and you have, you know, 50 or 100 or however many, 200, then those are your entries. And the more you enter, the more chances you have.
To win what?
The
prize. How about $1,000 worth of apologetics and theology materials?
Which includes, in some cases, movies, because Andrew was saying last night that people have submitted flash drives and DVDs with various digital books and content, audio content, and there was even a movie. I forget which one you said it was. So there's over $1,000, and the list keeps growing because podcasters keep sending in stuff.
I wish I could think of something to give them. I'd be like, we want to be in it. We want to give, but I don't know what
if they'll take a toddler off my hands. I'm sure
that's illegal.
I'm sure it would be. Oh yeah, but yeah, so there's a really high dollar prize involved, and the whole point is, you know, to try to win the prize, to have some fun as you participate, and the more you share, the more people hear about these podcasts.
I want to read something real quick as we go into the.
Main topic.
What you got?
Psalm 50 is a psalm of Asaph, and I'm not reading the whole thing. I'm just reading a few verses. It says, "The mighty God, even the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun to the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself." Selah.
And that sets the tone, of course, for our topic, which is righteousness, specifically God's attribute of righteousness. But the interesting thing is mankind, people, have a degree or a type of righteousness. And I wanted to talk about really God's attribute, but I think people don't understand it because of this lesser, more corrupt righteousness that people have. They think, well, we're not all that great. We sin, so therefore God's righteousness must not be all that good either. And it's just not right. We need to understand what exactly is righteousness. And
that's a good question. Let's start there. What is it?
The first thing I did was I went to my iPhone's search thing and I typed in the word define. Mm-hmm. It looks up in a dictionary, and I typed in righteous. And it came back with a couple dictionary definitions, and it essentially comes back as good, excellent, just, or justice. I mean, that's what the dictionary definitions gravitate towards.
Let's do this. Let's say righteousness, or the righteousness of God, by that we would define at least that he is good and he is just.
Right.
Those are two very important parts of God, and they are mirrored in several things that he has done and that he will do in the future.
Right. And the word just, of course, what struck me is it's, of course, justice. And I didn't really, I guess, mentally equate judgment with righteousness. Because, like I said, righteousness means good, it means excellent. When people think about judgment, they think about, oh, you shouldn't judge, or judgment is awful, it's bad, or that kind of baggage. But they're really connected. And that's one thing that struck me as I was doing some research on this.
I think judgment is necessary.
It is.
Because, and here's the thing, judgment is necessary for proper justice, and here's why. Otherwise, those who have wronged us, or anyone else, or especially God himself, which he gets the majority of wrongs by far, that people have wronged him more than anybody else. Without justice, there would be no consequences. There would be no, they just get away with it scot-free. And that's not just. That's not right.
I think people... not realizing it, have a gross double standard when it comes to judgment and justice and righteousness, because they can understand, oh my gosh, a guy robbed me walking down the sidewalk. He broke into my house. The law should do something about this. I demand justice. I demand he be judged. But when the shoe's on the other foot,
you mean like when you get pulled over by a police officer for speeding?
Yeah. Okay. I didn't mean to do it. Come on, officer, give me a break. Come on, why can't you just overlook it this time? Well, now you're having a double standard. Why shouldn't you be judged and given that ticket? Because, there is a posted speed limit, and you shouldn't have been going over it, and that cop caught you red-handed doing it. So whenever it's on the other foot, people want a break. They want grace. They want mercy, which is totally different attributes.
And occasionally, the officer will give grace, and that is not a perfect example, but an example of what Jesus did for us.
Right, but grace and mercy aren't necessarily righteousness. I've sometimes watched
on their own.
Yeah, I sometimes watch Ray Comfort videos, and he always pulls that thing, and you've done it here on this podcast too once in a while. Are you a sinner? Do you deserve to be judged? If God was to come down and judge you right now, oh, I'm a good person.
Well, where do you think I got it from?
Let's go through this.
Absolutely.
Have you ever told a lie? What do you call that? You're a liar. If you ever stole something, that you're called a thief. And he goes through just a handful of the Ten Commandments, and the person he's talking to has to realize that they are lying, thieving, murdering, blaspheming, and so forth. And he'll ask, do you think God would find that offensive? Because this is what his law says. How do you think he would judge you in his righteous, correct judgment? Well, they'd have to admit that they would, face the sentence.
Well, they don't have to admit. I've actually heard some that wouldn't admit it, and I'm like, I cannot believe you're saying what you're saying. They're like, oh, I'd be innocent because God knows my heart. I'm like, you just admitted to,
Right. And here's what Ray Comfort will come back and say, okay, you're standing before a court of law, a judge, and you've been convicted with murder. And you tell a judge, come on, you know my heart.
Right.
Let me off. Do you think if the judge actually let you off, that would be fair?
No.
There would be a public outcry. What about the victim's family? What about that? There would be such an uproar that a convicted, somebody who obviously deserved to be put in prison, got it all scot-free just because they had a good heart. They didn't mean it. They were sorry. So this is what I mean. People have a double standard.
Yes.
When it comes to what's right and just and fair. Now, besides looking this up in a regular dictionary, I just did a word search using the ESV, because that's what I have installed in my Bible app. And it came back with 267 verses with 280 some odd uses of the word righteous.
Wow.
That's a lot. Of course, I'm not going to read them all. But I did read them, and I kind of went through, and I noticed a trend in there. And for one thing, righteousness, as we've already been talking about, is related to judgment, but it's also related to being innocent or faithful, being favored by God, known by God. A person who is righteous is said to be in the way of God. A person who is righteous endures. They have joy. They have deliverance, salvation. They flourish. Now, there's a word people use today in our modern worldviews is personal flourishing, and you're empowered to do your own thing. Let me tell you, you flourish the most if you imitate God's righteousness.
That's right.
And you demonstrate these traits that I just mentioned. And that's just a few. Now, an opposite of righteousness, because often these verses will show, like in Proverbs, the righteous man does this, the evil man does that. Well, here's some opposites. Wicked, liars, gnashing teeth, broken, put to shame. They're violent destroyers. They'll be punished. They'll face wrath. So that's the opposites. If you aren't in God's family, we'll call it, if you're not demonstrating God's righteousness, not your own, but God's, then this opposites are you.
That's a good point you make there, and I want to touch on that real quick, is the fact that no one is innocent. No one. But how can you be guilty, in a sense, and still be righteous? And that is because Jesus came down here to die on the cross. Well, he lived a perfect life first, died on the cross, rose from the dead. Why did he do that? He did it to pay our fine, to pay our penalty, so that now he has taken our sin, as far as paid for it, and God has given us, or laid upon us, credit for Jesus's righteousness. And that's how I am righteous, not because I'm innocent, but because Jesus has paid my fine.
Right. And God knows exactly what that price is. And he judges us because we're not innocent. We do sin. And you'll find this all through Old Testament, New Testament, everywhere. But because he provided this price, all we have to do is claim it on faith. And now we are considered righteous. We're adopted in his family because of that. We're covered. Whenever he looks at us, he doesn't see sin. He sees the price that was paid, which is Jesus' blood.
So when you say faith, do you mean like a blind leap, right?
No. Anytime the Bible uses the word faith, it never talks about that. It basically is the word trust.
There you go.
You have to trust that what God did, he did.
Right.
There's other attributes like sovereign, which means he rules. He is the ultimate authority.
That's come up a lot in things I've listened to and things I've preached lately for some reason. Yeah.
But because he has that sovereignty, he has that ultimate authority, that defines him. God can't be anything else. He can't be anything other than ultimate authority. Just like with righteous, he can't be anything other than righteous. He cannot be unrighteous because righteousness defines who he is. If God was to be unrighteous, let's say he was acting shameful, you'll never in the Bible ever see something where God was acting in a shameful way.
But here's the beauty of it.
Way.
He created this world in a sense. He defines what is righteous. He defines what is shameful, because what is righteous is in his character, and what is shameful is against his character. So he sets the standard, and rightly so. He is the creator. He has that right.
You know, this is maybe an awkward demonstration, but, you know, let's say you walked into a room and you had a library shelf with a book on it. Well, what is a book? It's a cover, has pages in it, and you can pick this book up. It's in your hand. You're holding a book. Everything else in the room is not a book. Why is a library shelf not a book? Well, it doesn't have pages, it doesn't have a cover. So the book, the definition of a book, it has pages, it has a cover, and you can probably go into more detail. That defines a book. Everything else is not a book. So how do we define God? One of his attributes is he is righteous. Everything we know about what is right, what is correct, what is the just behavior, we know that because that's what God is. He will never present himself in an incorrect, unrighteous manner. He's always fair. You might not like him being fair.
Right.
You might not like it. Just like if you were that convicted murderer, you might not like it that you have to face a life sentence, but that's only fair.
Or worse.
Right, or worse, a death sentence. But sometimes you're on the bad side of what's considered fair. But fortunately, in the scheme of God, because of what Jesus did, we have a way out. There's a verse, I don't have it handy, but it goes something like this. You know, a righteous person is righteous until they sin, and then you're a sinner. And you can have a wicked person who is definitely wicked. But if they find it to the path of righteousness, then they become righteous. It's in Psalm somewhere. I actually cannot think of the verse and chapter of it. But and it's kind of a retelling of it. And we actually see that with Jesus. All of us are doomed to perish eternally. That's just what we are, because we are all sinners, all of sin falls short of the glory of God. But because of God's grace and mercy, which is a whole different attribute, he acts correctly because a price has been paid. And salvation, as people who are better apologists than I am will say, it's a transactional thing. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, if you go into a court of law, and I, like I said earlier, a speeding ticket, well, it's the cost, $50, $100. I don't know. I haven't had one in a while. And so you can go to the court, tell a judge, yeah, I'm guilty, $100. Now your fine is covered. Now, what if you don't have $100?
Right.
Well, I can go to my dad and say, hey, Dad, can I borrow $100? Here you go. My dad paid my fine for me. So that's what Jesus does. There's a fine we owe that we don't have the money for.
But it's more than that, though, because in that illustration, you borrowed the $100 and, you know, with the expectation of paying it back, the debt we owed was far greater, and there is no possibility that we could ever it.
And instead of a debt of $100, you're talking about $100 trillion or more.
You can, yeah. And the interest.
Plus interest, yes. compounded. And every year you live, it gets compounded more.
Every second.
And how much do we owe? How much does sin really cost? Do you want to find out?
the wages of sin, the Bible says, in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin, that's what sin costs, is death. Death. And death physically, yeah, that's part of it, because when Adam sinned, the curse was put into effect. He did it. He made it where people died. But also separation from God, eternal death. So that's what sin costs. That's the fine.
And how do you pay that back on your own? You know, let's say there even was a dollar amount. Let's say that for every day that you spent in a sinful state, it cost $1,000. Well, how many days of the year, 365, how many years do you plan on living? Let's say 100 years. Well, you owe, I mean, at that point, 300,000 times 100, you know, how much time would that take for you to pay off? And while you're paying it off, you're still sinning.
Yeah.
You know? And so, you know, let's say you die and it counts towards paying it off, which this is not the way the afterlife works. But let's say there is something like a purgatory. How many days and hours and months and years do you think you're going to spend in a place of torment, separated from God, to pay this off? You know, you're talking, of course, now you're in eternity beyond. It still could take you quite some time, even if that's God's plan. And this is a whole other topic, so I don't know what to say about this.
We have no biblical proof that it is.
We have no, biblical proof says hell is eternity, just like heaven is eternity. How long in eternity equates to the debt that you owe? As far as we know, it goes on endlessly.
That's right. And sobering thought, even if you know Christ, that's a scary thought.
And so, yeah, we're talking about the cost and is it and what's fair. It's horrible. You know, it's kind of sucky to be on the punishment side of what's fair, but that's part of this. And God doesn't punish you out of anger and wrath, although this, you're going to face that. You know, he still loves us. He loves his creation. This is why he provided Jesus.
That's right.
I mean, I feel like God loves us, but he does. And he'll keep on loving us up until the moment of death. He literally loves us to death and beyond, I'm sure. But our decision, it's our choice. We have chosen to push the Holy Spirit aside. We've chosen to not accept the gift that God paid. We've chosen to not reciprocate in faith. So we're already on that road. So we're like, hey, I'm good with this, God. I'm already on this downward highway to hell, so to speak. I'm okay with this. Adios. We've chosen these things. So we shouldn't be surprised in the end when God says that, you know, the people who hate him are going to face his wrath.
You know, somebody says, there is no God. Well, when you face God, you'll know that's not true. And by not believing in God, and consequently not believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ, you then disqualify yourself from the only hope you ever had.
It's like being lost at sea, your ship has sank, and the rescue boat comes, and the Coast Guard throws you a life preserver. Like, no thanks.
I don't believe in them.
I don't believe in the Coast Guard. Go away. I reject your life preserver. That's what people
are doing. Exactly what happens. That's exactly it.
I got this. I can swim back to shore. I'm only 10 miles out or more. It's only several hundreds of feet to the bottom of the ocean. I can walk it. Yeah, right. Oh, brother. But yeah, righteousness, God's righteousness is a perfect righteousness. There was something, it might have been on one of our Christmas treat podcasts that we had through December, that you were saying that, you know, if you or I was to judge a situation, I don't know. I can't tell if you're telling the truth sometimes. I can't judge your heart, but God knows the heart. Mm-hmm. And if he says you, my friend, are guilty, it might surprise me. I might have thought, you know, you're telling the truth, but God knows. You can't fool God. And
here's the sad part is I wonder how surprising it will be to some not only to be told they're guilty, but to agree with the verdict.
Right.
Because when you see God and you see his righteousness, then you can at least somewhat see just how wrong you've been the whole time.
You know, I don't have it handy, but isn't it Luke where it talks about the rich man and Lazarus? And
yes.
Jesus talks about the rich man. He's in torment and he sees Lazarus. And what does he ask? He does not say, "Oh God, help me out of here and bring me over there." Wouldn't you think, hey, if I'm in torment and I got a hot foot, someone just lit a match under my foot? You flee from that. You want to be removed from your agony. He never asked that. Why? Probably because he knew he deserved that.
See, I'd never thought about that.
But what he asked for was just a drop of water.
Just a little relief. And he wasn't granted even a little relief.
Yeah. But that's one curious thing to me is he never asked to be removed. He just asked for the smallest bit of comfort. And of course, I think in the account, he was denied because
yes.
There's a gulf set between there. No one from side A can cross to side B. No one.
Sure.
And you put yourself there. And I think people who are in torment do, like you said, they recognize that, yep, I was wrong. Here I am. I put myself here. I've listened to people who will say, "I reject God and I would rather, you know, I don't want to be in heaven and be in church service all day admiring and looking at God. I would just rather not be a part of that." Like, you don't know what you're asking for, but God will give you what you ask for.
But you'll regret it.
I don't understand why people choose that, but people do. And, you know, again, I think it's because people are used to righteousness. And there is something I want to bring up real quick is one of the first places it talks about righteousness in the Bible, it talks about Noah.
Yes.
And what it says is, I'm trying to find here, Noah was blameless and he walked with God more than anybody in his generation. So there is a righteousness where one person can say, "Oh, I'm better than this person. I'm better than Hitler," which is a common thing to do. But why is Hitler the standard of evil? There's more evil people than Hitler.
When you talk about somebody being righteous, though, when God views righteousness, I think that, and we're talking about Noah in this case, I think with Noah, with Abraham, so I talk about Abraham was righteous. Why? Because he believed God. And I believe it's the same way with Noah. Noah was righteous, but what caused him to be righteous? He believed God. Well, how do you know he believed God? You know he believed God because he did what God told him to do.
Well, and along that same line, okay, I'm more righteous than that person. How do I know I'm more righteous than
you
that person?
You don't.
Because there's maybe some areas that person's more righteous than me, but I'm not seeing it because I'm, you know, building myself up. But how do you know that Noah is more righteous than other people? Well, because we model God's righteousness. When we immerse ourselves in scriptures and we see what God is, how he acts, how he is fair, we understand those righteous acts and deeds, and we model that. That's how we even know we're righteous.
Well, in a sense, I get what you're saying, but I think you might take it a little farther. How do I know? How do we know we're righteous? We know we're righteous when God, the righteous judge, says we're righteous. And
it's kind of a back and forth.
Right.
You know, for example, God is the one who claimed Noah was righteous. It wasn't
correct.
Noah.
Correct. That's right.
And of course, back then, Noah didn't have, you know, scriptures per se. we do. We had the benefit today. We have 6,000 years of history and 2,000 years of it's written down in the holy books we call the Bible. So we have this written record that we can hold in our hands and look at, and we can see, really, if you want to be truthful, you always see how God is consistently right. Yeah. Everything he does is the right thing to do. He knows who's evil. Oh, those poor Canaanites, they genocide. Wah, look how evil God is. No, God is only wrathful to those who are not righteous, to those who are evil, to those who are liars, to those other attributes that say we're opposite.
Was it the Canaanites that were sacrificing their own children to somebody?
Pretty much all of them were Amalekites, the Canaanites, others, you know, of course, Sodom and Gomorrah. They were acting in ways that were opposite
right. The
righteousness. They were being unfair. They were being unjust. Of course, there's a whole other litany of sins. Like I said, child sacrifices and whatever else.
Right.
They were just... The reason they had God's wrath is they were not righteous. So how do we even know? Man's righteousness can come and go. Man's righteousness can be corrupted. You can give a judge a bribe and corrupt his justice. But God's righteousness and justice is never compromised. We can't give God money and say, hey, God, look the other way.
Let's talk about man's righteousness for a second. Isaiah 64:6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away.
And that's definitely a verse I had written down. I knew we would get there eventually.
It's one of my favorite verses, because it totally shuts down humanism, right? The one that says man is right. Basically good. No, they're not. We're not. We are definitely not. And I know that. I've been inside me. I know I'm not basically good. I know I need Jesus. And I know it.
And we can, again, compare Mother Teresa or Gandhi or the Pope or whatever. Even those quote-unquote righteous people are flawed, and they both, if you was to be close to them, you'd find out they have a temper. They find out that once in a while they gripe and grumble and complain. It might be more rare than most other people, but they still do. And all it takes for the righteous to be unrighteous is one sin, one instance of disobedience to God's law.
Yep.
And that's all it takes.
Yep. And you can do it without even knowing you did it.
Yeah. I always like to think of a balloon. You can blow up a balloon. All it takes is one tiny little pinprick, and then you don't have a balloon anymore. You have the remnants of it. But yeah.
You can just touch a balloon the wrong way. It'll pop.
Yep. But that's all it takes is one. And then it's not complete. If you have a glass of water and you take one drop of arsenic, drink it now.
No,
it's only one drop.
It's like the illustration about the 10 egg omelet. Well, there's only one bad egg in there. You sure you don't want it?
Yeah. That's all it takes is one. So our righteousness, as good as we think it is, it's like a dirty rag. Take a dirty rag and go and clean your dishes with it. You're going to just be spreading that filth around. Yeah.
I like to think about checking your oil several times, you know, in your car, and then using that rag to wipe your windshield.
Yeah.
That's you're not going to clean your windshield that way.
You get done.
It's going to make it worse.
Work on the car, and you got grease from your fingers to your elbows. And you take that rag and you wipe off, and I'll use that to clean your window. That's a good one.
Yeah. Well, think
it's
about
not
it.
Gonna work.
Yeah. No, but think about this though. The more you try to use that rag, the harder you scrub, the longer you scrub, the worse
you're spreading that filth around. And this is what human righteousness is.
That's what people are doing when they refuse to accept the righteousness of Jesus Christ and try to get right with God or whoever else they're trying to get right with on their own merit.
And they're trying to spread their version of righteousness around. They're just spreading their filth around to other people.
That's true.
You see that a lot. I mean, today's society, everybody has their agenda, their worldview. Why can't we do it this way? Why can't we be confused gender? Why can't we be a bono what?
Insert your agenda word here, you know.
Yeah. Just spreading around that corrupted righteousness. If it's not God's, then it's not righteous.
Andrew's rap report talked about that. I think I mentioned it earlier, talking about this lady who really thinks that she's righteous, but she doesn't realize that she's contradicting herself.
Was that that thing he did this recently? He played some clips.
Yes.
Of a lady being interviewed by, isn't Shapiro, whatever his name is?
Yeah, Ben Shapiro. Mm-hmm.
And she was like defending her stance on pro-choice.
Right.
And yeah, that's a good one. People haven't listened to that. It was just recently posted on Andrew Rappaport's.
Oh, yeah.
Reports
that was a
weekend.
Good one.
Yeah, there's this. And whenever her contradictions got pointed out, he kept coming back to, well, what about the value of the baby's life? And she just started over talking him and it's like, and Andrew pointed out, he asked the same question three times that she never answered. But whenever he didn't answer her one question, she got all huffy and even more banana shaped.
Actually, he did answer her though.
Yeah. Yes. One word. Yes.
And that was enough, question, wasn't it?
That was it. That I did it. Yeah, it had to do with something about, so you believe if abortion is wrong? Yes. And that was it.
Yeah, it was abortion wrong in the circumstance of rape or something like that. And he said, yes. Because, I mean, and that's more straightforward probably than a lot of people.
Yeah, this is off our topic, but I would also say, yes, it is wrong. But I do understand the woman's emotional state of, you know, being raped, having the races, unwanted baby. I do understand that. And if the woman chose abortion, you know, I would say it's wrong, but I understand. But what he was also trying to point out is that is such a small, single digit percentage instances of all the abortions in our country. 99% of them are not.
Right.
So that's really a non-issue.
And he talked about, we need to protect the life of the mother. And he's like, nobody's threatening the life of the mother.
Yeah. If the mother's life is threatened at all, it's because she's going into the abortion clinic to have this
procedure done. Right, exactly. That's the main. I mean, so do women die in childbirth? Yes, but it's. I think it's rare.
It's very rare these days. It used to be a lot more before medical science got to where it is. But it's almost non-existent in our country today. And so that's rare. It's more dangerous to get an abortion for the woman. So he's like, I'm going to endanger myself so I can 100% kill my baby because every one of the babies is aborted. What about them? Their life isn't more dangerous than anybody's. And I think there was a statistic pointed out that something like the number of abortions is double, like cancer, car crashes, and the top three or four leaders of people why they die combined abortions is double that.
Successful abortions have 100% fatality rate.
Yeah. So I know we're off of our topic. But it's a worthy topic to go down the bunny trail on.
And if you want to hear more, listen to Andrew Rappaport's rap report. So that's a catchy.
It was one of his weekend shows. It runs a little bit long. It's like an hour and That's definitely one of a good episode.
If you're interested in truth, it's worth it.
I think I've pretty much covered all my bases I wanted to talk about with righteousness. To recap, you know, there is a righteousness of man and there is a righteousness of God. Man's is corrupt and corruptible. God's righteousness is never corrupted. Whenever a man is called righteous in the Bible, sometimes they're referred to as innocent. Not meaning that they're totally innocent, but they're undeserving of the harassment that they get from the wicked. That's what that really means. But man only knows he's righteous because we get that from God. It's built in, you know, like we know what's right and wrong. Why? We have a conscience. You know, Romans 1 talks about this. Everyone knows what's right and wrong. Some people choose to ignore it. But we only know it because God is ultimately righteous. He can be nothing but. We don't like to like it when he's fair, and we're taking the brunt. And sometimes consequences are something we deserve, but we eternally can get out of consequences thanks to what Jesus did. Another thing I don't think we really got onto, but what about times when good things happen to bad people?
Oh, yeah.
The righteous suffer, the unrighteous go off scot-free. What I would say is in this lifetime.
Exactly.
That's true in this lifetime. Lord, even the Old Testament, even Ecclesiastes, when it talks about why do the righteous suffer, why do they do, in this lifetime. But there's eternal consequences. There's eternal rewards.
That's right.
God promises the righteous will always be rewarded. Maybe not now, but in eternity, there's always reward.
I cannot argue with that.
And that's kind of my summary thoughts of what I would like to wrap up on. Do you have any closing comments or ideas? Or
just that the only way we're ever going to be righteous is through Jesus Christ. And if you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you have not trusted him to be your Savior, time is running out.
Yep. Time doesn't go backwards or stand still. That's one of the things about it. You have less time now than you did a little while ago.
That's right.
So, and you know, something else that I'm reminded of, and we used to mention it when we did shows in the past, is that as much as, you know, we would like to see people come to Christ, and as we say in our closing, if you don't know Jesus, your greatest need is a Savior. If there's anything that we say that sounds, you know, really smart, that strikes a chord, just know that it's the Holy Spirit, and he's talking to you.
That's right.
He uses our imperfect words and our sometimes goofy silliness. And if it means something to you, don't put the Holy Spirit off.
No.
Because he can be grieved, and there is a time when he will stop wrestling with you. So that's what we got. Before I do the official sign-off here, remember, next week is our normal week for a audio drama, in case we don't get all the parts in. And I'm going to say we might not. What I plan on next week is, earlier I did a couple parts on the Holy Spirit, and I have a part 3 planned.
Oh!
So, if you can make it back to be live in the studio, and if you can't, maybe we can do some collaboration back and forth. But
okay.
And this is, as we continue my series here on the Holy Spirit, this is where it starts to get really good. Because in the past, I discussed a little bit about the Holy Spirit's temporary nature in the Old Testament. in the Holy Spirit being wrapped up in Jesus's life. But part three will involve what happens next. And this is where a lot of controversy begins with folks who claim cessation or not cessation and talking in tongues and stuff like that.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So, and it may end up being a part four to it too, because it's kind of involved.
All right.
So that's the plan. You'll either have an audio drama or we can discuss that.
All right.
And from there, we'll see how things go in the future. Well, you have some closing comment?
Yes. Yes, yes. One. Time travel is an actual thing. Currently, we are traveling at 60 seconds a minute.
Into the future. Yeah, it's just the whole going there in reverse is not. Well, let's sign off. This is your host, Keith, signing off, saying thanks for listening. Tell a friend about us. That's really how we grow the most. We'll see you next.
Visit life-truth.com, the new home for all our Quest for Truth shows. While you're there, subscribe to the shows. Sign up for email notifications. Send an email or leave a voicemail at 401-753-4844. Everything Nathan Caldwell does can be found at Protectors of the Book, facebook.com/protectorsofthebook. Music for the show provided by permission of Kevin Zerbe, zerbinator.wordpress.com. May God richly bless you. If you don't know Jesus, your greatest need is a Savior. Thanks for listening.